Hallelujah. Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. And while you're turning there, one of the problems that I don't know, it probably will never be resolved. It's not really a problem. But I would like to have Tim's messages about 15 minutes after the service ends so that I could hear it again two or three times before the Sunday night service, you know. It's rich. And boy, I'm telling you, this year, the word that we talked about, I think last week or week before, this is the year for going farther into the heart of God. I remember that service that Dave did about take the heart of the Father into war. And it goes to Luke chapter 6, and again, for just to get our minds going in that direction. Luke chapter 6, where it starts talking about the guy who's slapping you across the cheek and taking away your goods, and he's pray for those that hurt you and despitefully use you and are doing all of those things. And it says, love. It actually says, not tolerate your enemies. It actually goes beyond have mercy on them. It says, love your enemies. But normally when we're in that situation and somebody is really doing you harm, I mean really, and they're taking away your goods and... See, all of that preaches real good. Hardly anybody in that situation ever remembers Luke 6, including yours truly. I'm doing better. I'm doing better at it. But if we don't get the heart of the Father, we're going to wind up in religion. We're not going to wind up in real revival. He's not going to be able to flow through us because we don't have His heart. So going farther into one of the prophecies from last week that Tim was ministering on, January 17th, one of the words that came forward, fatherhood is the heart of my plan, there's this sentence in it. It's on page 5 if you have those handouts. Said, this is a year to focus intently on my heart as your father and to reach into more of me. Well, in the words that Tim was delivering, commenting on, making commentary on today, was the one I'm looking at particular here is, I have a greater measure of my love. And he's talking about the Father's heart, the Father's love. If we don't go farther into the Father and receive His love for us, which in turn we take and deliver that love to the sinner. You know, it's amazing to me. You read the Gospels, sinners flocked to Jesus. Have you noticed they're not flocking to the church? Have you noticed that? They're not. You know? They sure flock to Him. So much so that the Pharisees, they thought, well, just hanging around with all these wine bibbers and gluttons and everything, you know, they thought that was strange. And He thought, didn't you know what? I should be seeking and saving the lost. I should be about my Father's business. He gives those parables really to straighten out the Pharisees. He starts going into the lost coin. You know, if one of you guys lost a coin, you'd be looking everywhere for it. Why? It's precious to you. If you lost a sheep, man, you'd call your neighbors. You'd be scouring the countryside looking for that lost sheep. Why? Well, it's precious to you. Why am I out here amongst these sinners? They're lost. And they're precious to my Father. See, we've got to have that heart. And I don't mean just churchy either. That has to become who we are. Or we're not... I don't believe real revival, the kind we're talking about, is really going to flow. And you can pretend and put on a good show, and I could do the thing again now about, you know, trying to love is not going to get it done. Remember the husband that for 2 weeks brought his wife breakfast in bed every day? You know, you can do okay for a little while with human effort, but pretty soon, what you are is going to come to the surface. Well, when what we are comes to the surface, it's got to be the Father's heart. Now, how do you do that? Well, He says, in these present hours speaking to us, that this is a year to go farther into Him and to understand His heart. So I want to read particularly now When I heard this word this morning, and then Tim made comment. I'll try and do it like he did. This, now what I'm going to read now is on page 6 of the handouts, and it's the first sentence in the top one there that says, "I have a greater measure of my love." It says, "Don't you know that the awareness of my presence," you got that? Two things. The awareness of my presence and, coupled up with something else, the understanding of my love, my nature, is the place of peace and victory. For as you know and understand my love for you, now notice, and the ways of my love. There's a conference right there. The ways of the Father's love. Man, I'm gonna talk to God about that phrase right there. I love that. I never heard it phrased quite like that. The ways of my love. I know part of it, for God so loved the world. See, real love isn't love until there's action with it. Really, I mean, it's kind of bottled up love. You don't always have opportunity, but boy, for God so loved the world that He wished He could do something about it. No. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. See? As we get to know His love, and apparently it's a matter of we've got to receive His love before we can turn around and give that love. See? So as Tim was reading this morning, the first thing that caught my attention was in this right here. It says, "Don't you know that the awareness of my presence?" See, that triggered in me one of the face-to-face documents called Becoming Aware of His Presence. And I remembered something that he said in there that I'm going to read to you here in just a little bit. But becoming aware of His presence and knowing His love and His nature, that is the place of peace and victory. "For as you know and understand my love for you and the ways of my love," God so loved He gave. That's just one of His ways. "Nothing shall overpower you, and you will have no fear." That brings us to 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear. There is no fear. Now, see, what you got to do is you got to couple that up with the rest of the Bible. What is the beginning of wisdom? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But here it says, in perfect love, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear hath torment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love. I like to put the word in there, yet. See, we're all in the process of trying to comprehend and understand. Made perfect means grow up, mature into that love. Well, we're in that process. So we're not, okay, he that feareth is not made perfect in love yet. Now, I don't know about you guys, but see, I'm all grandpa now. That's just what I am. I'm papa, you know. I think about, and the Lord told me a few years ago to re-examine all my doctrine, everything that I believe, and if it doesn't fit in the context of a family, then I'm wrong. So I've been doing that with everything that I know, everything I believe. If it won't fit in a family, then I'm not really understanding it from His heart, because God's not interested in having a religion. God's interested in having a family. So I think, okay, how does this verse relate in a family? Well, I'm all papa. Cole is going to be 7. Cole Matthew Hansen. When Cole is walking side by side with papa, he has no need to fear. He needs to fear no lack. He needs to fear no danger. He needs to fear really nothing. Because in his eyes, papa can do anything. And he's pretty much right about that. from a 6-year-old's perspective. He brings me anything to fix, and I go, "Sure, I can fix it." I get on the phone, "Can you fix this thing?" All he knows is it comes back fixed. He took it to papa. You know? See, that's part of it. You know what else, though? The fear, and I'm going to say it, and I don't mean anything. The fear of Gary. Say it this way, the fear of Papa is the beginning of wisdom. He listens to me. He likes to be with Papa. Papa likes to be with him. We do things together. I don't always make... I like watching the 6 o'clock news. Did y'all know he doesn't enjoy that? So when he's there, I record the news, and I spend time with him, because at that moment we have fellowship in each other's presence. Are you seeing any correlations here? You think he had, you know, and he loves to come to Papa's house. Perfect Papa love casts out all fear. He's not afraid to come to my house. He's looking forward to coming to my house. Now, does that mean there's never any correction? You've got to be kidding. If I see him do something, you know, wrong, well, whatever degree it needs to be. But he knows deep down at his core, I love him more than I love my own life. And I'm not going to do anything to harm him. I may have to correct him, and no correction for the present seems pleasant but grievous. But it's going to result in a better walk for him. That's the way you have to start understanding this verse. And he says, in this present hour speaking, he says, the awareness of my presence and the understanding of my love and my nature, that is the place of peace and victory. Can you relate that with Cole and Papa? He's at peace, victory. It's a great day when we're together. Honey, it's a great day when you and the Father spend a day together. And he's trying to tell you, if you come into my presence, you're going to find my love. Now, religion will make you afraid. See, let me read to you what he said to me. And this is online. I've taught on it extensively. This is from one of the face-to-face documents. This one is Becoming Aware of His Presence. It was, 1998. Takes you back a while. And what he said to me, still when I read it, it grabs my attention. But I hope you can imagine what it sounded like to me the first time I ever heard it. Because I was just like you. See, most of us, we still think God is He has conditional love. He has a Father's love. Let me say it that way. Yes, sir. And I'm going to balance this out at this point at the same time. You are going to have to really be careful. Nearly every ministry or every person that has got right to this door. I'll tell you which door that, you know, Dave saw a door, for those of you that have been around here a while, a few years ago, when he was in worship, and he saw this door that was partially, just barely cracked in the Spirit. Light was emanating from all around the edges. It was like a big medieval door, you know, and it was just barely cracked open. He never made it all the way in there, but the Father said to him about that place, that's where we're going now. He said, that room there is where even preachers quit falling. Now that's the Father's love behind that door. That's the heart of the Father. That's the next one where we're going. So let me say this. Nearly every... We're not the first ministry that's come up to that door in history. This door right here is where you have to do more prayer, more staying close to the Holy Ghost, because humans trying to comprehend the love of an infinite God, when you start trying to comprehend it, it is so easy to get off to the left or off to the right. All kinds of squirrely doctrines have come right at this point, like even the devil will be saved at the end. No, he won't either. He loves you. You know, when you start trying to comprehend really his love, well, then there can't be a hell. I mean, a God of love like that, there couldn't be a literal hell. There is a literal hell. All kinds of things can get you off right here. And they've gotten off. And I thank God for the foundation that's been laid for decades. The Spirit of Truth who will guide us even into that room. But as long as we got to stay right, can I say scooched up? Got to stay right close to the Holy Ghost now. Let Him guide us in there and not get off with human reasonings. Now, he said this to me in 1998. It's right on the near the end of it. If you print it out, it'll be on the last page. I'm going to read most of this. He was talking about the gifts. At the time, he was trying to move Sue and I into operating and I don't even like to phrase it that way, moving us into a position where the gifts could flow through us better. Okay? He said, studying the gifts profits a little. In other words, doing study. But becoming aware of my presence accomplishes much. Know and understand that I can accomplish more in a single day for you than you could accomplish yourself in many lifetimes. Releasing my power in every facet of your life comes by your continual awareness and continual fellowship with me and continual hearkening to the instructions I give you by vision, by revelation, and by voice. Think not religiously. Now here's the part that I really thought of when I heard this morning. Think not religiously that I am only with you when your performance meets certain standards. I have been with you in your finest hour. I have been with you in your worst. I have been sent to abide with you forever. The blood is continually available for you. It never loses its power to cleanse, and the blood will never fail you. The blood never loses its power to cleanse you and keep you in fellowship with me, says the Spirit of grace. I am the friend who has seen you at your worst, yet I still love you. Do you remember Tim this morning trying to describe that? He said, I saw you. I'm still with you anyway. Yeah, I heard what you said. I'm with you anyway. I'm not going to leave you. I'm the friend that sticks closer than a brother. You're stuck with me. Remember how he said it, something like that? Well, see, he has been sent to abide with us forever, not intermittently. Does that mean that he's pleased with everything he sees us do, parents? Are you always pleased with everything you see your children do? But do you still love them? Will you still be there to help them? Well, of course, and that's the way the Holy Spirit is. Well, anyway, getting back to this, he says, I am the friend who has seen you at your worst. That's pretty bad, you guys. Y'all have only seen me in church, you know. Anyway, yet I still love you. Well, I'm glad about that. He says, I cannot be shocked. I cannot be surprised. I can be pleased. And I can be grieved. But my fellowship with you is not so fragile that I would break off that fellowship when I see your failings. Did you hear that sentence? Let me read that. I can be pleased and I can be grieved. But my fellowship with you is not so fragile that I would break off that fellowship when I see your failings. You have earthly friends who love you more than that. Think you not that I love you more than those. I am the master teacher. I am fully aware of the value of repeating the same things again in different ways to make sure that your mind grasps hold of the truth that I bring to you. Therefore, I say unto you again, in the way he said it to me, you'd have to read the document, the next tree that must fall is the lack of awareness of my presence. Give the utmost attention and place the highest priority on becoming fully aware at all times that I am with you. In that awareness, you will find my counsel. In that awareness, you will find my gifts. In that awareness, you will partake of my strength. Now get this last one. In that awareness, you will partake of my love. I hadn't thought of that until I heard that this morning. That came on January 17th, the Lord said to another person, this didn't come through me, says, don't you know that the awareness of my presence and the understanding of my love, my nature, is the place of peace and victory? For as you know and understand my love for you and the ways of my love, nothing shall overpower you, for you will have no fear. My goodness, people. But how do we do it? In the same word it says, fear will assault and fear will try to come, but it will find nothing in you. Your place of... Do y'all know that Cole just isn't worried with the Fox News report? He's just not, you know. He's going, well, that's... You know, I have someone else that handles all that. You know, now he's not necessarily Pop. He's talking about his parents and everything. We're supposed to be little children, are we not? And we're... You know, we should not be concerned. We should... Fear is going to try and come. You know, if it doesn't come by the economy, if it doesn't come by the, you know, the news reports, the doctors will try and put you in fear. I mean, it can come by any place. But I'm telling you, perfect love casts out fear. This same God that loved us so much, He gave His only begotten Son. What? He's not going to heal you now? He's not going to provide for you now? Yeah, but you know what I did? I did a bad thing. I did a bad thing. Have you been to 1 John 1:9? Did you remember what he said about that blood is always available? It will always be available forever to cleanse you. But right on the other hand, you know, there's where people get off a degree and they start preaching a greasy grace. I just had one this week. The devil is really sneaky. He's trying to come in any little door he can to bring false doctrine. I don't want to go into all the details, but he really set me up and wound up getting these four CDs into my hands, and I promised to listen to them, which I normally don't. Well, God had mercy on me. Two of them were blank. See, and the person that gave them to me thinks, you know, that they're sincere, and they used to come to this church, and they're nice people, but, you know, they're just hoping I'll get straightened out, you know? You know, they didn't say it that way. I mean, they were very nice, very gracious, but I can tell you, I know, and I was very nice back, but I know what's going on, but I... In the first few minutes, you know, it's a minister at a church 5 miles from here, not even quite 5 miles from here. Starts off, well, you know, in Romans 6, where it says that we have been made... let's see. Turn to Romans 6. I want to quote it. I don't want to misquote it. It fits today's... teaching. Romans 6. Hallelujah. Here it is. Verse 11. Romans 6:11. He read quite a bit of this, you know, to act like it's, he was doing something in context. But verse 11, he says, "Now likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin." And he stopped right there and he said this, word for word. He said, now, what Paul means by that, he doesn't mean really that you're free from sin. What that means is you're free from a sin consciousness. Couple it up with Hebrews, lifting verses out of context. Should have no more consciousness of sin, you know, and Mike knows where they are, you know. Hey, I can preach any bad gum thing I want to preach if you'll just sit there and let me pick and choose verses. I can have you giving me all your money and signing over your deeds in about a month. And do it all from the Bible. All I got to do is got to start just stringing together verses straight from the Bible. And if you're dumb enough to listen and not pray, God help you. And He'll need to. Now listen, it makes all the... It makes me angry that the devil thought I'd fall for that. You know, it makes me a little bit angry. But he knows how I am. I really like people. I really do. And I try and be... I care... Actually, I've... Anyway, I don't want to get into all that. You pour your life into somebody, then you got to be careful, you know. You know, and I pray for them. They're not trying to do me any harm. But see, that path right there, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. Well, so what that means is, according to that doctrine... Well, you can still just keep sinning. You just don't have any consciousness of it anymore. You follow that path very far, you'll wind up in hell. You'll eventually cross over the line. You know, even the devil is saved. And I mean, you know, you're going way. This is what I mean by you at this where we are right now in this love of God. See, there is a revelation of grace. You know how many people have left this church because they got a revelation of grace? What they mean by that, well, it's all God and you don't have to do it. Well, I know you got saved by grace. Dave used to have a little sign in his office. I don't know if he still has it or not. What's wrong with prayer? All we're saying, We're just encouraging you to pray. And maybe read your Bible. Throw in a little fasting, you know. We know God saved you by His grace. He also gave us tools to help pull down strongholds. He also gave us the Holy Ghost and prayer and fasting and all of these things for our benefit. They're not for, well, it's for His too. He wants to see us grow up. But to throw out prayer and make everything works, I mean, now you can just go sin and not have a consciousness of it anymore. That's within 5 miles of here. Makes you wonder, you know. Then I had to listen to the other one. Because one of the attributes of God's love is a man swears to his own hurt and changes not. Well, I told her I would, so I did. It was worse than that one. I'm not even going to get into it. I don't want to do more damage to your ears. And if they hear this, I hope it causes them to repent. I hope them to get their Bible back out. Jesus did not come to set you free from it. Well, you're supposed to have no more sin consciousness because He set us free from sin. And if you do, I mean, you guys know that I still slip up once in a while. You do know that. I heard that. Well, what do you do? Well, 1 John 1:9. But I'm not trying to find ways to sin more. I'm not trying to find... Cole's not trying to figure out ways to disappoint Papa and do wrong things. I hope he never does. He's trying to do the right things. But he slips up once in a while. Boy, he's got Papa's forgiveness. All I want, tell me the truth and don't lie to me. That's all I want. God's the same way. This is a family. I like to say mess up. If you sin, and it's a real one, you know, okay? I mean, you know, and maybe you'd, anyway. If you sin, welcome to the club. Get over yourself. Go to the blood. Get cleansed. Have some faith that your Father loves you. But I'll tell you this, I have found out from hard experience, and I mean hard experience. When he said over there that the awareness of his presence causes a walk where you don't sin very much now. When you are really aware that he is with you, you know Cole doesn't lie in front of me. Now I've caught him lying, but he don't normally lie when he knows Papa's standing right there. See? Well, when you're in his presence, I'll just tell you right now, you shape up. But it's more than that. It's not from an unhealthy fear. You're walking with Papa. You're walking with your Father. You're walking with Him who loves you more than anything. This whole universe was created for you. Makes me want to go spend time with Him. Well, let's get back to this scripture here. Perfect love casts out fear. We're in Romans now. But anyway, did you get that? We're going to have to be more careful of deception in this hour than we ever have before. And I'm telling you, your human reasoning will get us off track. My human reasoning will get me off track. I'm going to have to meditate the Word in whole images, pray in the Holy Ghost, and let Him lead us all into the Father's heart. Can we say it that way? Because only as we appropriate His heart and His love becomes our love... Man, the sinners, I know they'll still flock to Jesus. The problem is they can't find Him. They can't find Him anywhere. Tulsa would flock to Jesus today. Now, not the religious people. But you watch. The real Jesus show up and doing the same things He did. The bars are not that interesting. They'd rather go watch this. What? Blind eyes are being opened? People are walking? Graves are being opened? What? I'm putting my schlitz down. They still drink schlitz? I got to go see that. That's more interested than what I'm doing here. They'll still flock to Jesus. Trouble is, they can't find Him anywhere. And I'm at fault for that. You're at fault for that. The whole church is at fault for that. We're giving them religion. We're not giving them Jesus. Well, He says, there's only one cure. You got to go into my heart. Can y'all tell this is going to be prayer? Can you tell this is going to be worship? Can you tell there's no substitute for presence? There's no substitute for spending time with Him. I like I can't help it. We've got these two newlyweds here sitting on the front row. Here they've been, their little hands are holding each other. See, they can't stand it. The knowledge of each other is no longer sufficient. It used to be knowledge, and they still are knowledge. Wait a minute. Okay. But now, it's presence. Life is just meaningless. Knowledge is not enough. I have to be in her presence. She goes, I have to be in his presence. It's got to become that way with us. I've got to be in it. And the wonderful thing is, we can be in his presence in the middle of the worst day you ever had. I've had some of those days where, hell was falling all around me. How many of you have had some days like that? Where, on the left hand and on the right, and it seems like every phone call and everything that was happening was another bad report. I feel like, Job. Job, everything was happening all at once. All at once, man, the enemy come in like a flood. I've had days, and I've had days without his presence. We won't talk about that. Boy, I've had some days, though, where I was astounded myself. Why am I not worried? Why is this unearthly peace? That'd be a unearthly peace. It's a supernatural peace. Why am I okay? I'm hearing all this. Sometimes it can be really devastating bad news. I've had other times when it wasn't like that. I like it a lot better when I'm in the middle of his presence. My daddy is going to... Can I say my papa? He can handle anything. As long as I'm with him, like Cole is with me. As long as Cole's with papa, he knows papa can handle anything. I want him to believe that too. But as long as I'm with my father... How's that old deal? My daddy can whip your daddy. What was that that came through Dave today? Can we quote it yet? I have more answers than the devil has plans. Good. That was worth the price of admission right there. If you didn't get another sentence today, if we had a price of admission, God said through Pastor Dave, he says, I don't care what the devil's doing. I have more answers than the devil has plans. Woo! Glory to God now. That's good stuff right there. That's part of that perfect love casts out fear. First you got, most of my life I was really put in fear at church to even go in God's presence. I was afraid I was going to get just whooped up on big time, So first is losing that kind of fear to even be in his presence. But really what it's talking about here, it goes beyond that. I don't think Jesus was ever afraid about anything. And they were going to throw him off the brow of the hill. They were going to do all of these things to him. I don't think he was afraid at all, ever. Perfect love casts out fear. As we really get to know him and go into the heart of... Yes, good. Okay. Get some... I didn't laugh out loud then. Well, I saw just a glimpse of it. Now, hang on if I can get that. Let me see if I can capture this. This is good. See, we all know no matter how we're sitting here all prim and proper, I want to stay close to this. Yeah, we're all sitting here prim and proper and we look very nice in church. You know who you are. And if you can ever get convinced to the measure he really loves you, it's going to really be easier for you to go, you know what? He loves you too. You foul sinner, you... Whatever that person really, whatever they're doing, you go, if he can love me, really love me, like he says he loves me. That same love, that's why we've got to go in and we've got to be partakers of this fruit. This is like the fruit of Canaan here. We've got to partake of the Father's love and bring back the grapes. Boy, when they feel or sense those grapes in you, that love of the Father in you, they'll flock to you because that's Jesus. God is love, it says. God is love. He's not working at it. He is. And the more we become changed into that same image as He is, so are we in this world. They've flocked to Him still. Well, Him now is in you. But it's in a measure that they can... love just can't really be imitated very much, You can fool people. You can't fool kids. You know, I go to McDonald's now. I go there. I'm not eating there.
Okay.
I saw Bernard look at me. I saw it. He went, "What?" I'm taking the grandkids because they got the Playland, you know, and they like to play with it. But what's funny, you know, like what was it 2 weeks ago? It was spring break, so all the kids are out. Man, I go over there. That place is running little. They're everywhere. Without me doing anything, I'm just sitting there. I'm just keeping an eye on them. Pretty soon, you know, I got, you know, of course the kids have got French fries and hamburgers on the table and everything. They're out playing. It won't be very long. Kids just know when they're in the presence of a grandpa. They'll start coming. "Can I have a French fry?" "What's your name, mister?" So, "My name is Gary. What's your name?" Pretty soon it's like the Pied Piper. I had like 8 or 9 of them little kids over there. They'd just come and they'd get a French fry and they'd go, I had to go buy more French fries. And I loved it. But see, they're feeding off, something is emanating. They know a papa when they see one. Or maybe when they feel one. You know what I mean? They can sense it, see? And they weren't afraid at all. Just come over there and I knew their little names. And that's really what draws the sinners. When they really feel that love, that's what draws them, see? And the sinners still flock to Him. They just can't find Him. He's trying to get us more conformed to Him so they can find Him through us. Y'all getting anything out of this? Now then, though, see, I didn't get it for a while why Tim had that chair up there. See, the chair, really... If we don't ever do anything, if we just continue to sit and hear, we're not really going to change. Most people leave the prayer center thinking that the message doesn't work after they've been here 5 years or sometimes a lot shorter. It's amazing how many... Anyway. Help me, Jesus. But what happens, it's not that the message doesn't work. They fed off Dave's change for about 3 or 4 years. And they themselves didn't change, and they don't understand it. And it just never equated, you got to do this? Just listening about prayer won't get it done. You need to actually go pray. And in fact, you mean you've got to actually push away from the dinner table? And turn off the TV and read John 30 times, you know? Now see, there we go. There they go, back into works again. Honey, it's by grace you're saved, not by works. Only by faith in His finished work are you saved. We're not talking about going to heaven. We're talking about, would you like to be changed different than you are? Would you like to be transformed into that same image? You've got to spend time with Him. That's all. So He's given us tools that are not carnal, but are mighty through God for the pulling down of these strongholds. That's all it is. So, this one is a little more tricky than just... I'll tell you right now, I'm going to tell you from experience, you need to do the whole message. For years and years, about the only part of it I really did... Well, I did two parts. I did the meditation and assimilation part. I did do that. And then I did the praying in tongues. Very little private worship. Okay? I'm just telling you the truth. Very little private worship, very little fasting. Tiny little. Anyway. What happens there is you activate the teacher, and it really helps you understand the Bible. It helps inoculate you against deception, all right. It helps you discern His voice. And you do hear things regarding not hurting other people. Okay? But the thing that I found, lacking. All that time when Dave was teaching us about private worship, it was just I'd take a run at it to it, you know, a few times, but it was just so dry to me. I think I'll go pray in tongues and read the Word again, you know. So I never did progress very much into it. Now I regret that, because what you don't get during that time is the change of heart. I don't think you're going to become like Him very much unless you spend time with Him. And the time I'm talking about is presence time. Dave said years ago, and I wish I'd have taken it more to heart, so I'm giving you guys that want to leapfrog, if you'd like a jump start, you want to leapfrog over a few years, that experience. Dave said years ago, if I want knowledge, I'll pray in tongues. But if I want presence, I'll worship. You know, remember that? I should have paid more close attention to that. So now I've got to play a game of catch-up, if you will. Spending more time in His presence. I'm not going to let the other things go, but spend more time in His presence. What do you mean by that? I'm talking about worship, the kind that Dave taught us, the kind where you do it on purpose, even the kind where it may seem dry and the words come out, I love you, God, splat, you know, dry as cracker juice. Get a spatula, throw them back up to God. Because you got to break through. See, that's your soul. It's not interested. But it's like anything else. You got to press through the dry places. Got to dig deep sometimes until the well water's released, you know, till you find that well. So I'm encouraging you, whatever else you're doing, don't make the same mistake I did and neglect private worship time. Private worship. Praise God. I think that's it. Say it with me here. It says, here, we'll go back to 1 John just for a moment. We'll finish this up. Perfect love does cast out fear. So let me back up just a little bit. Verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God. This is 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Now, let's just, how many of you confess that Jesus is the Son of God? Let's get the salvation thing over. We're not talking about that. You're saved. God is in you and you are in God, okay? And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. Did you hear that? Not just known. It could be worded, we have known. No, it says we have known and believed. That's the process we're in right now. We have got to not just know, we've got to believe the love that God has toward you. Yeah, but I'm not worthy. He loves you anyway. Yeah, but I messed up yesterday. He loves you anyway. It's like cold, you know. I mean, I love you, boy, anyway. I'd do anything for Him. Come on. God is all for you, see. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwells in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth, I'd like to again put, is not yet. It's not really in there, but we're on a progression here. He that feareth is not made perfect in love yet. But we love him because he first loved us. We've got to know and believe that love. Receive it ourselves. Knowing what you know about yourself. Receive it anyway, because then you can turn around and you can give that love to the world. And that's what draws the sinners, because they're drawn to that love, and that love is God. That is Jesus manifested. Say it with me. Perfect love, casts out fear. He loves me. He can't help himself. He is love. He knew I was a mess when He saved me. He's not about to abandon me now. I'm not afraid to spend time with my Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.